Scorpions Avenue.
If you wanna be my friend, you had better go and get a pen. And maybe we could keep in touch, like they did in the old days. It wasn't so long ago.
Did Patrick send us any pound cake music?
No,
do we have that anywhere? Where do we get that?
Toiling away. Yeah, we have it. It's in my email.
We
got to
get that. We got to start playing that. I think there's a lot of listeners who would go, fuck. Like, I think we have a lot of listeners who already are like, great theme song. But I think if we showed them the full treasure trove of what Patrick has submitted us, they would be like, this dude's crazy.
Now, look, I know
it's such good shit. All of it's very catchy.
Oh, it's amazing.
Some of the dumbest jingles, but yet so catchy.
Do you feel for our theme song it's more of a up and down head bob or a left to right? Do you want to feel it out? Let's feel it out. Ready?
If you want to be my friend, you had better go and get a pen. And maybe we could keep it
going. You want left to right? You want
like
up and down?
You know what? In the old days,
but I'm
kind of
going
so
I'm going left right, but I'm doing like a little bopping.
Half head circle. Bob.
Doing like a half circle.
And I wish you well. Oh.
Like a rocking motion is where it takes me. Yeah. But I think they all work.
They all work.
Maybe I'm maybe less headbanging about it.
And you're more of a little bop?
I'm more east to west.
A little ear to shoulder, rather than a no. I like it so much, it's no,
but
no,
the
no,
no, but the no,
no,
no also, the no also is always a fun one.
Yeah.
Look at that sweatshirt, that hoodie.
Look at it. Would you look
wish
at it?
Wish you well.
It looks good, right?
Oh, Senor Pen.
You gonna leave that hanging out there? Man asks you if you think he looks good. You don't say nothing.
Oh, you look hot. HAWTTTT.
Thanks, buddy.
Hot.
I think you look hot too.
Thanks, buddy. I think you look really hot today. Daniel, there's so many things on the plate.
Mm-hmm.
So many rant opportunities. I just want to say one thing.
What?
And I just want to leave it out there. Can we, as listeners of this show, as creators of this show, as participants and hosts and producers, every
mm-hmm.
element of anything with this show,
mm-hmm.
and hopefully beyond, can we fucking stop looking at teachers like they've got it good?
What's this?
People talking about the vaccination and schools reopen and people like, I just see so many comments and people arguments about people. What, get these teachers? These teachers get 3 months off in the summer and they should be going back without the vaccine. Lots of people caring about them, but so many people not giving a shit about these teachers' lives.
I know.
To go back and be in person with these children. Well, my kid needs this. My kid, the one person I saw a post, and I can't remember if it was on Dave Anthony's Instagram or something.
It was angry.
I keep going back and forth on putting Instagram on my phone and taking it off my phone. And if we have something to post, I go back on, even though my friend Gemma does it anyways. But I saw something like this huge argument about the well-being and psychological aspect of these children, and I understand that. But also in a normal world, how much were you screaming at the top of your lungs that we as people need to care about the psychological aspect of these children? A lot of people didn't care before.
Mm-mm.
But now suddenly their psychology really matters. In a normal world, their psychology matters. But you know what also matters is the teachers' lives and their psychology and their health and also the psychology and health of their families and their children and their, you know, wives and their husbands and their, you know, their significant others. And it just fucking drives me insane that we as people don't, that on a huge level, don't understand the benefit of teachers and don't understand the respect of teachers and don't understand the admiration you should be giving. It's one of the most admirable occupations one could pursue. The necessary element of passing knowledge on to younger generations,
and even
is
more
why
knowledge.
We are even functioning.
Good social skills.
Now,
good people. Like, hey,
yes.
We check in. In this class, we check in with our friends before we do blank. We ask someone how they are today. Like we.
Yes.
Yeah, yes. It's more, they're like making good humans.
And yes, there are shitty fucking teachers. Of course. There are lots. There are evil, awful, fucking horrific people who are teachers. But you know what dwarfs them? Amazing teachers.
Mm-hmm.
Life's lessons come from being taught. Everyone should consider themselves a teacher. Some people dedicate their lives to it. Right. And those are the people that you should fucking, that should be compensated, not only financially, but also with our respect and admiration. And I have to get that out.
It's okay.
Because I can't understand it. One bad teacher who's a fucking pile of shit, and everyone's like, those are teachers. They get those 3 months off. Oh my God, heaven forbid.
Mm-hmm.
Those short 3 months. It's not 3 months. No one gets 3 months anymore. No, students don't get 3 months.
Right.
You're talking about teachers that put their own fucking money up to provide supplies to their children that the government and other outlets should be providing. They pay for it with their own money, and none of them are making millions of dollars. Some of them are doing okay. Most of them, some of them have second jobs.
Oh, for sure. Most of them work.
And you're
all
talking
summer
about
long.
People you send your children to make your children better people. It's insane to me. Right. It's so insane to me.
Or do you really just want your kids out of the house?
And that's not just a pandemic. Say again?
Or do you really just want your kids out of the house?
Exactly. And I get that.
I get that too. I'm just saying, is that the real motivator for some people?
And I get too that there's a lot of children whose food comes from schools. And I get all these elements. Yes. It doesn't trump safety.
Right.
And I understand. I don't have an answer. All I know is the argument of like, we got to get these kids back in school. There's a way to do all this, but if you want to step back and be
but
smart
if you
about
really
it,
think that,
maybe
Rory, if you really think you got to get these kids back in school, then you better have been wearing your fucking mask since March. Because if you've been not wearing your fucking mask, but then
and
also telling me these kids got to get back into fucking school,
you might be the reason. You might
I'm
be
like,
the reason we're not.
Oh, okay. You understand we're still in a fucking pandemic.
Yes.
Because
yes.
you don't want to wear a mask, but you want the kids to go back to school.
Yes.
Oh, man, these businesses
teachers.
Are dying out here.
You mean
the businesses that should have been
shit.
Able to reopen by July, but you didn't want our fucking mask? You didn't want to wear a mask for 5 months?
Yes. And you're not. And you're still not.
Right.
And if you are, you're like, not my nose. It's just how fucking hard is it to wear a goddamn mask?
It's like
who
it's
doesn't
like,
know by now?
It's like loving flowers and plants, like loving them, but you refuse to water them. And you are horrified at the fact that they keep dying.
And also can't understand why they die.
No.
Even though your neighbor goes, the problem is, and you go, shut the fuck up because you are invading my freedom. These teachers unions that have probably saved teachers' lives and people like mad about the teachers unions and shit. When you look at it and you go, but some kids, and I understand it. There are families, unfortunately, whose children get food from that. There are parents who have to go work. There are very tough situations.
Right.
But instead of blaming teachers and teachers unions, maybe realize that the American government that you've grown to trust in, whether you're left or right or blue or red, maybe come to realize that it's not an institution that necessarily gives a fuck about you, and it doesn't necessarily give a fuck about people who need more. Maybe open your eyes to the greed that exists in this world and go, everyone's life could actually be simpler, more peaceful, and better if you just gave people an opportunity to take what they need. I'm not even talking about what they want.
Right.
I'm talking about what they need
to
then buy what they want.
The biggest fuck up of all is that like the funding for local education is determined by local property values. That's the biggest fucking...
They want to fucking slander teachers unions so they can privatize more education and make education inaccessible for more people. Mm-hmm. Look, I went to private school. I couldn't sit here and tell you that my daughter won't one day attend private school. I really don't know. I don't know what she'll do. I don't fucking have any of the answers. I know what my life was like in private school, but my dad fucking busts his ass and we had student loan where we had financial assistance so that my sister and I and other siblings could attend a private Catholic school and a private Episcopalian school.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we did. But everything being privatized, everything having to be privatized to be worth someone's education is fucking insane. It's mm-hmm. insane to me.
I agree with you.
Investing in education is how everything that you're like think is wrong It starts at investing in education. Mm-hmm. Look how many lunatics out there have no idea how to just competently think for themselves.
Critical thought.
About what is more than likely reality. What is more than likely
cause and effect
reality. If we want to sit here and debate the JFK assassination,
I will.
We could do it all day, and we could go this way, we could go that way, mm-hmm. but we still sit here and go, let's say he was assassinated by 5 people. What the fuck are we going to do about it? We're not going to storm the fucking Capitol. I mean, these people, I don't know.
We're hot
today. This is why I need this show.
We're hot, dude.
This is why I need it. But just the basic goodness of getting behind educators. Do it. And when people talk about free education, and when people talk about alleviating student debt, realize what you want the world to be better, it won't happen when so many people who have an education can't do anything with it because they're buried in so much debt. Mm-hmm. None of them are getting rich quick. They might be making major contributions to your life. And when you vote against alleviating their student debt, you're hurting yourself.
Oh, 100%.
And I believe that on a massive scale.
Again, that's cause and effect and critical thought.
I mean, why is college so goddamn expensive? Why? What is there that makes it so expensive?
But I don't know.
Do you know tons of college teachers who are like, have you seen my 3-story house?
I have no idea.
I don't know any.
I don't even know if I know any college teachers.
There was one teacher at my college who drove a DeLorean, never saw his face, but I'd step in front of a bullet for that man. Someone would be like, yeah, I've seen him. I've seen him roll in and get out. Whew, I've seen the DeLorean.
Wait,
I would
you only saw
it.
The car?
I'd stand there and stare at it. And I'd be like, all I want is to do enough to get one of these. That's all I want.
Have you ever been in one?
No. Hmm. Are they wildly uncomfortable?
I have no idea, but I imagine they are so uncomfortable. Don't you?
Yes.
I don't think there's any cushion.
And that's a hard thing to admit. It's hard to admit that they're probably wildly uncomfortable.
Roar.
If you have the money to soup up a DeLorean and you mm-hmm. don't make it look like it's from Back to the Future, then what are you doing? Why do you have that DeLorean?
You go Back to the Future 1, not 2, right? Like you're not putting the trash thing on the back.
I am putting it. Here's what I'm doing. I want the DeLorean to be basically a Tesla, but a DeLorean. And I want the charger to have to go into the Mr. Coffee.
Is that what that was?
Yeah,
it was a Mr. juicer Coffee. Or something to me. Of course, I'm not doubting you.
I would soup it up. There's no way. If I own a DeLorean in my life and there's not a flux capacitor, what am I doing? What am I doing? And I want the Tesla screen, but when it's idle, I want it to be like the dates and stuff.
Sounds to me like you need a vision board.
I have several. This is my first vision board right there.
Really?
No, it's just a piece of art. Just a fucking wild piece of art. And you tell someone, that's my vision board. They're like, fuck, this dude's an artist. There's not even words on that vision board.
Hey, I have
just
a couple
images.
I have a couple of
images.
Things for you before we go. Well, we have things for everybody.
We got a few things off
February
the top here.
20th, 8 p.m. Mm-hmm. Rochelle, Illinois time.
Mm-hmm.
It's the next live Pen Pals.
That's correct.
And
be there or be square.
I will shout out an SAGA for everybody who has a shirt on that says such. Or these. I hope we see a lot of merch. Because now it's been enough.
I
got to
get
right?
one of those hoodies because I saw your picture. I'm seeing you now and I'm seeing the comfort.
It's really great.
Soft interior.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's a souped up DeLorean.
Yes, like a souped up, not standard.
Not standard. You're not getting standard.
I have something else. You ready for it?
I am always ready for it. Throw it right at me.
Here you go. You ready?
I'm ready.
Okay, here you go.
I already know who this is.
Of course you do. You can feel the love in the fingers.
Should we go to DJ? Should that be the new name for 2021?
I mean, I think it's DJ when he's playing.
It's hard to not say Jacobs. Knowing that that's not how it's... knowing that that's not it.
Dude, he laid that down for us. Such a great...
Did we think of Jacobs?
Yeah.
Did we?
Yes.
But do you think anyone else called him Jacobs?
Do you think Keith and Brian are calling him Jacobs? You think Hal's calling him Jacobs?
If I'm Keith, I'm calling him Jacobs.
You think Missy's calling him Jacobs?
Ugh, I dream of being Jacobs. Keith. I wish I was Keith.
Really?
Jacobs.
I wish I was Missy.
Are you kidding me? To get to be married to David Jacobs?
It is pretty great. Because you're so much DJ? Just hanging. So much just
I mean, did you hear him playing that bass?
That's when he's DJ. Boom, 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 boom. It's got like a little bit of a... He said this too, so I'm saying it after he said it. He said it's got a little bit of a My Favorite... Or a So I Married an Axe Murderer.
What, like a beatnik poem's gonna just pop in over the over top? You wanna be my friend? You wanna know what you gotta do? You gotta go and get a pen. And maybe
Bill,
we can keep in touch like they did in the old days. It wasn't so long
you
ago.
You are my number one.
And I.
Gaia. Love that you finished it. Okay.
I got a letter here from a friend of the show, ooh, Nicole from New York.
We're doing it on
New
this side, though. You want to do it on the side?
I'm going to throw this out there.
Okay.
I'm going to do it on this side real quick.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We talked about Girl Scout cookies. Mm-hmm. I want everyone to look into this if you feel so inclined. If you want some Girl Scout cookies, obviously Dan and I are fans. www.girlscoutsnyc.org, and then you can look up Troop 6000. They're a Girl Scout program specifically designed to meet the needs of girls in the NYC shelter system. Mm-hmm. You can order cookies for shipping to your residence, and you can donate cookies to NYC food banks. Nicole also says, by the way, Samoas are my favorite Girl Scout cookie, but I'd eat any of them gladly with a cold glass of cold skim milk. You know, that's one thing Daniel and I didn't say. That someone goes, well, look, all he has is this Girl Scout cookie. Make no mistake, Daniel and I, great, bring those.
100%.
Except for those goddamn s'mores. Also, there were briars and dryers, maybe Edie's too, Girl Scout cookie ice cream. I'm not sure what's available to buy at this time. There were Thin Mint, Tagalong, Samoas. Flavor. I am going to be looking into that, and I'm going to be
You're making
trying
out.
That.
You're
I'm going to make my own, but make no mistake, I am also going to buy some.
Okay.
Because I want to know if I actually do better. I want to know where I stand in the attempts of doing this. But that
it's
is from Nicole. She says, I'm sure Rory's Girl Scout cookie ice cream will be very tasty and even more enjoyable because you'll be eating it together safely at some point in the future. As usual, the pod and Paige's are highlights of my weeks. Love. I wish you well. Nicole from New York. Nicole, I know it was a quick letter, a quick grab, but thank you for sharing that information. People can look it up, research your, if you want to, about Troop 6000. And if that's a donation you want to make and all that good stuff, you know, Daniel and I are always happy to pass on that information that makes the world a better place. But that decision to do so or not do so is up to you, and Daniel and I have no judgment. We live our lives, and we donate to our things, and we have our charities and this and that. So do if you're like, I want to be a charity-type person, hey, the opportunities are vast. Go grab one. You got it. What do you think?
Yes, you got it.
Is it time? I know. I felt it. I felt that energy.
Okay, you want to?
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Hold your breath. Make a wish. Count to three.
And let's go to the letters.
I love it.
You know what I forgot?
It's so good.
So we posted, I think we posted it, didn't we? The picture?
What?
That we were sent?
Yeah, it was posted.
Shanley shared it with us, but someone tagged us. Mm-hmm. Do you remember who?
It also got, it's in my DMs.
Get that in the DM. I want to say, I totally forgot. I did like a fucked up bizarro Willy Wonka in Those Who Can't.
Oh,
and
you did?
I'm gonna try to find that picture.
I hope I can find this.
But yeah, we were sent by a listener. We were sent a picture of me as Willy Wonka.
No, I don't know.
It's cool. It's very cool. We're going to post it. It's from Danny McCartney, and we're going to post it on our Instagram if we hadn't already. So check that out just because it's funny. And also, every time we go to letters, that's now what I'm going to be picturing in my head.
Is you of yourself?
Me of myself as that inside that poster.
Okay.
That he made. And
did
that's,
you watch In and of Itself?
I did watch it. If anyone's interested, that's at DannyBoy.TheVoid.
I can't.
If you want to check him out on Insta, it's also posted there for sure. Family friend here coming to the Pen Pal family. Loved in and of itself, got made fun of by friends who didn't like it.
Really?
I like to say they didn't understand it. Whenever someone doesn't like what I like, I just say they didn't get it.
That's true, though. They didn't get it how you got it.
Yeah, totally.
That's
and I
true.
Refuse to, and I refuse to see it their way and listen to their argument.
Wait, what was somebody who said they didn't like it? They just thought it was a little like pretentious or too heavy-handed? Or a little...
I think they thought it was just a little too... And I can see this. I think they thought some moments were just a little bit on the cheesy performative side. And well, I would talking about David argue Wayne that there's crying? No moments.
They're talking about David Wayne crying?
Oh, I don't think so. Okay. But I think they were talking about Tim Gunn starting to like the shaky like hand to mouth, like, how did you know that? And you want to be like, I understand, but it is illusion. Listen, we've talked about this, I'm sure. I saw David Copperfield when I was in fifth grade at a theater in Spartanburg, South Carolina.
Uh-huh.
I saw him with Richard Wege when I was in college. I think senior year, maybe junior year, at the exact same theater. And he closed on an illusion that haunts me to this day. And when I tell people what it is, they start to try to tell me how he did. And I go, no, it's not. I've worked all the angles. I know it's not real. I know it's not real, but I can't prove it. And Jordan has tried. She's like, here's how he knew everyone's thing. And I told her, I was
I know. I know that too.
I go, look, of course, here's how he knew all the things.
But once you do that, you kill it.
Here's not how.
But once you do that, you kill it.
And you want. But I don't know how you know. I don't know how you know. Have you figured out how he does it?
Yeah.
Oh, well, then we can't say it on here.
Okay.
That's like saying Bruce Willis dies is dead the whole time.
In what?
Unbreakable.
No. Is that real?
Yeah, he's dead the whole time.
Sorry, my phone was left on. Uncle Bob texted me.
And I wish you well.
Okay, you want to go?
Oh. Sign your pen pal.
That was a good.
Sign your pen pal.
Is that punk
Who
or
is that?
Emo?
Who
what is
it?
That?
I don't know. I'm trying. I think it's an impression of somebody.
Well, yeah, I felt that too.
Oh, sign your pen pal. I don't know. Feels so good to do. All right, I got the first one here.
Okay.
Folks, here we go. Mm-hmm. Hello, my pals. You are both a delight, and I can honestly say this podcast and your comedy has made my life better. Thank you from the bottom of my heart. Honestly, that is powerful.
Very nice.
Thank you for that. Okay, here we go. I am married and we have one kid. Our son is hands down the best thing I have ever done. I love him completely and without reservation. He has created a place in my heart I didn't know existed before I had him. He is 3 and goofy and loves other kids. That being said, my wife and I are talking about having another. We grew up with siblings that we love. My brother and sister grew the shoe to me. And we thank you to them. Mm-hmm. And we want our son to have a sibling. But I have a few worries. 1, I am 38 years old, so the clock is counting down, which means increase for all kinds of awful shit, both during pregnancy and after. I know age is not a guarantee for a terrible pregnancy, but it does increase the odds. 2, COVID. My wife and I both work with the public. We are as safe as we can be, but there are a lot of dipshits out there ruining it. Yep, we know that. We can't really wait until we're, quote, back to normal because of reason number 1. 3, the political structure of the country. As I'm writing this, it's been a week since the attack on the Capitol and a few days from the Biden-Harris White House. I'm hopeful that we are moving to a more progressive future, but who the fuck knows? We live in a progressive city now, but as a queer couple, we are especially aware of what happens when political power goes red. And 4, am I capable of loving another kid the way I love my son now? Will I become a shit mother who loves one kid more than the other? In reality, we're 99% likely to have another child. I know that whatever happens, we will deal with, and I know I will love any child I have because that's who I am, but sometimes I get stuck in a place of second-guessing myself. The last year has been filled with so much doubt. It's seeping into everything. I don't have any particular question, but I would just love to hear your thoughts. Thanks again for all you do and the community you brought together, Sarah. First off, great letter.
Agreed.
Great letter, as it's very relevant to decisions I've faced as a father of one.
Father of one.
Father of one.
That was Everclear.
Go get a pen.
Tell me, where is your pen?
We can keep in touch. Here's my quick thoughts for everyone. My wife and I have one child. I don't know that we would ever have planned to have more, but my wife did experience severe preeclampsia during childbirth with our only child. So that is where your blood pressure spikes so high. You can go into having a stroke. You can blood to the brain. Your vessels have tightened up. Blood isn't traveling to your brain. Also, anyone listening who's like, he doesn't really know what he's talking about. That's it. Hey, welcome to
the show.
Welcome to your
you
first
must
episode.
Be new here. This is where you'll be sitting. This is where we'll say dumb shit.
This is where you'll be sitting, and I hope you take note. We will be telling you we are not professionals in any field whatsoever. Except for talking. That is our only professional whatever. So severe preeclampsia, it can kill you. It's not advertised heavily, but many women have unfortunately passed away from this. And it's awful. It's a horrible thing. So Jordan experienced this. We were in the hospital. We had an emergency C-section, which means you're in the hospital for 4 days, I think, no matter what, because that is a major surgery. And then, so blood pressure high for like 3 straight days. We had nurses coming in, doctors coming in, constantly checking her blood pressure, pumping her full of drugs to get her blood pressure to go down. And then eventually the tide turned and her blood pressure dropped. Thank the God and the universe and whatever's out there to make that happen. It happened.
Gaia.
And it was terrifying. It was truly terrifying to be witness to while I lived with her in the hospital. And every time someone came in, just, you know, crossed my fingers and squeezed my fist, hoping to God that it was going to be going down. So we only have one child, and I couldn't tell you if she had a fine childbirth. I couldn't tell you where we'd be sitting. I don't know. I don't really know. But before I get into the details of this particular situation, I do want to say to everyone out there, something I don't think is talked about a lot is when you are in the position of wondering if you want to have kids at all, or not have kids at all, what I want you to know is that it is win-win. Both directions and paths are the exact right path. Mm-hmm. If you have a kid and your heart explodes with love and joy the way that Sarah's telling us about with her situation, it's awesome. It's incredible. If you said, I never had kids and for 30 years did whatever the fuck I wanted and traveled the world, if you get to year 30 and you look back and go, fuck, I should have had a kid, I'm gonna tell you what, I don't know that you did those 30 years the way you should have done them, because I think it's only when you have a kid you realize you can't have that fucking crazy 30 years of do whatever the fuck you want, travel the world. You just can't. And the more kids you have, the less likely you're going to.
Sure.
But hey, that's also what some people want to do and want with their lives. So anybody sitting on a fence worrying about it, don't listen to the pressures of we have to, because that's what you do in life. That's not what you do in life. You do whatever the fuck you want to do in life. But I doubt you will look back and go, I wish I had a kid. Maybe you do. Maybe you do. I have a kid and it's changed my life forever and I wouldn't change it at all. I sit here and also do wonder, what is it like to not have a kid? What is that world like? What would my life be like? What would I be doing? Who would I be? Am I supposed to sit here and go, well, because I didn't have a kid, my life sucks and everything's awful? Or is it fucking amazing? How much I want to just leave the house and get, normal world, leave the house and get a sandwich? You know how much I want to do that? That's gone. That's gone.
I can bring you one.
It's not the same.
I know.
If you said, let's meet up for cheesesteaks, and I go, I got to make sure Elliot's in... She's taken care of. Oh, I get so old. I'm kidding. It's great, but that's the thing too. Someone goes, "Oh, I want the freedom. Go have it." But also, I love my kid. It changes your perspective. It's win-win. It's not win-lose. One or the other. It's not that. Both are right. You still make the most of your experience in your life. Go fucking have fun. Jordan and I, we were trying to have a kid. We got pregnant pretty quick, but we said to ourselves, we gave ourselves a timeline. We said, at this point, if it's not happening, we're not going to keep trying and trying and trying. If it happens, it happens. But at a certain point, we're going to go, all right, we tried. tried and we were going to do it. It didn't happen. Let's fucking travel the world. Let's do fun shit. Let's just do whatever the fuck we want. Let's make our lives fun.
What if somebody did like, what if somebody at like 55?
Or you adopt, you know?
That's what I was going to say. What if somebody at like 55 years old was like, all right, I ran it. I ran it back for about 30 years, did whatever I wanted. I'm going to adopt a kid now.
Go. I think that's amazing. Go for it. I think it's amazing.
Even if you die at 62, you're 55. That kid had 7 years of like real love and parent. I mean, that's more than I got with my grandpa.
Exactly. I think it's great. I agree with that so much. I just think in this world of it, you always hear, it's like, we got to do it. Have a kid.
You don't
gotta. People need to shut the fuck up.
What do you think, though, about having a kid in the world right now?
Okay, so that's kind of a part of this question here. Yes, the older you get, there can be issues with pregnancy. Sure. But also not. Right. I know plenty of people, the older you get, you know, I think it's probably fine.
Mm-hmm.
Even past 40, you know, people do it. I wouldn't live that way because that would be my choice and I would be nervous about those things, but also just as I get older in age, but you do it and you're fine. You make it work. You pivot and you figure it out. The world. I think constantly about climate change and it terrifies me. I think constantly about where do we live? Where's the place to be? You know, we're living in a pandemic now. I don't think this type of lifestyle. Here's what I think. I don't think we're going to come up with a vaccine and suddenly have an amazing world open back up to us.
Right.
I think there's a likelihood because of deforestation and our treatment of other species that share this space with us. There's a chance that we have to deal with a virus for the rest of our lives. There's a chance. That could happen.
Mm-hmm.
There are things and steps that you can personally take to make your contribution towards maybe that not happening. For me, I'm trying to. I hate getting into the debate of meat and stuff, but I'm going to try to get off meat. I'm slowly tiptoeing towards it as I've canceled some things out, and I'm now reading a book about plant-based diets and what they do for your heart health because I'm actually very concerned about my heart health, just my own. There's no proof of why I should be. So I don't know. I wouldn't not have a kid because I think people are starting to go crazy and be awful towards each other. I wouldn't not have a kid for that reason. Because I think that ebbs and flows anyways. And I think there's no world that's perfect. But climate change for sure is always in my...
How much of having a kid dictates mind. Your life? What percentage?
Almost all of it.
Would you... You'd quit comedy for your kid?
I would. Yeah, yeah.
I'm not that I'm saying you shouldn't. It was a pure question. You know what's amazing too? Not an infused one.
Totally. No, I like that. I like this question. It becomes an easier answer once you're in that position of what you feel with that kid. Those certain questions like that become easier to answer. Ironically,
mm-hmm.
I would say it's tougher. For someone, and it's not always a kid, but I think it's tougher for someone who hasn't found whatever that is to say, oh, I'd give it up for this. And also, this is, again, a win-win because you go, oh, well, then you don't have to sit in the world of going, oh, I don't have that thing yet to where I would quit this thing for. And it's like, oh, then maybe the thing that is the thing you'd be quitting. You know what I mean?
Do you think sometimes people's careers are lost because they have a kid?
Yes.
Because they realize, like, oh, I'm not going to miss this birthday. And somebody's like, well, it shoots from this time to this time. So if you want to be in this movie, and they're like, but I'm not going to miss my kid's birthday.
Yep.
And so then they turn down that mm-hmm. pilot of Cheers.
And I think they're also happy to do it, too.
I hope so.
Phil Mickelson has never won. Phil Mickelson's never, he's won, there's four major tournaments. He's won three of them. Run them down. There's the Masters. The
Wimbledon.
Kicks off in,
Wimbledon is one.
I get it very wrong. There's the PBA in Orlando. there's the U.S. Open, the PGA Championship. There's the Open. It's called the Open. A lot of people call it the British Open. But the Open, the U.S. Open, Masters, PGA Championship. Not necessarily in that order, but now I honestly don't know what the order might be going forward because they shifted around. And also, the Masters was just in November, and it's also about to happen in April.
I'm just
what
glad
a treat.
The rest of the
what
world has gotten on board with when is what.
Yes, they have to.
They have
They've
to.
Been
we
to,
were
yeah.
way early on that.
We
too.
Pioneered it. We pioneered us and every philosopher.
All right. You were saying he's never won a Masters? No, he's only won three of them.
He has never won a U.S. Open. And his daughter graduated from high school and was the valedictorian and would be giving a speech. He skipped the U.S. Open to be there to watch. It's the one major he hasn't won. If he were to win that major, that means he's completed the Grand Slam. He won every major. Very few golfers in history have done it. Also, no one's ever done what Tiger did, where he won them all in a row, which is insane. Mm-hmm.
But, did you watch that documentary on HBO?
I watched the first part of it. I hated some of the elements of it being
sleazy.
I heard
sleazy. It's like, yes, it's like, yeah. Okay. Well, that's another
But I could watch and learn about Tiger all day long, but the sleaziness of it, it's like, get the fuck out of here with mm-hmm. the sleazy shit. But yeah, he didn't go play in the U.S. Open at a time when he was maybe, you know, could have really, who knows if he would have won. It's a major tournament. It's one of the hardest major tournaments. But he skipped it to go to, you know, to see his kid. You start to realize, at least for me, not everybody,
sure.
but me, from my own personal point of view, is that not playing in the winning the U.S. Open and saying I am one of few players to have won these four things. You start to realize you get just as much joy and satisfaction and whatever that drug is by watching your child do sort of the same thing. Your daughter is the valedictorian and she's speaking at her high school and she's also about to go to college where you won't have the same connection to her physically that you've had for the past 18 years.
Mm-hmm.
And you start to go, well, this is a no-brainer. This isn't even a tough decision because winning that, standing there on Sunday, holding that trophy, the only thing I will be thinking about is that on Wednesday night or Thursday night, whenever it was, I didn't see my daughter speak at her thing. And that will...
And eventually...
It won't be worth it.
Eventually, people aren't going to remember I'm a golfer, but I'm always going to remember that I wasn't there.
Exactly. Exactly. And so some of those, like... So take that. I understand that's a sort of a unique, extreme scenario, but, you know, but you could really apply that to a number of things with having kids or getting married or all any type of thing where you look at it and you make this prediction in your mind, you fantasize about how it's going to change you and what it'll be, but the one thing you can't fantasize about is reality.
Mm-hmm.
Something's going to happen that you didn't predict and it's going to change everything. When I had my daughter, I didn't expect to be so scared. I didn't expect to not know my place. I didn't expect to have a child who really only needed my wife. I didn't expect to go, and I'd heard about this, but I didn't expect to go from someone who had this intense connection with my wife to going, oh, I'm the third wheel here. I'm not my place in this dynamic
mm-hmm.
has shifted and changed. I didn't expect
that,
they hate me.
I know.
I'm in a shed right now.
I try to defend you.
Only Daniel and Noah can see, but I'm in a shed in a part of LA that I will not talk about.
Mm-hmm.
The airport. But I, you know what I mean? It suddenly changes you. And so you have a kid and you go, well, maybe I don't like this element of it. And then you get to see... You get to see your wife become naturally become a mother, and you see what that looks like. And you get to see your kid, you know, obviously I'm coming from the perspective of someone who didn't have a mother. Mm-hmm. I get to see my kid have a mother, and I get to witness, my own feelings aside, my own jealousy aside, I get to witness how powerful that bond. And I, to this day, five and a half years later, I still see it, how powerful that bond is. There's a part of me that sits and go, I'm glad that I got to bear witness to this, that if there is anything I sacrificed or lost out on, I don't know that it would have trumped the perspective shift and revelation I had by watching my wife become a mother and watch my daughter grow into who she's growing into. You know, now I realize my place and I, you know, your kid starts to realize who you are. Mm-hmm. No reason a kid would ever understand why the fuck you're around. It truly is like, who the fuck is this dude and why is he still here? But when you realize, when they realize who you are and you realize who you are, you know, it's really kind of, it's kind of a cool thing. I'm glad that I got to witness that. Yeah. And I would have sacrificed things and maybe have sacrificed things for it. That's fine. But to the point of what I said earlier, if I'm on the other side of it and I don't witness that, what feelings do I have towards that? I might have experienced or saw something completely different that shifted my perspective and revelation of things. You don't know till you're in it.
Well, let's touch on the last part of this then.
Not the fantasy of reality. Not fantasizing about what things will be. Because that might not be what they are.
Right. But here's the last thing that we can hit on this before we roll off is what about having a second child? Am I capable of loving another kid the way I love my son now? Will I become a shit mother who loves one kid more than the other? So I'm twice removed from this idea. You're only one concept removed from it.
Yeah.
But had you ever thought about that?
Not at all. I can't speak to it from experience.
You've got
to. But
people are people. Anytime you have two of something, one feels different than the other. That's it. I can't remember if we talked about this last week. I don't remember. But like, whenever I was like, when people are like, well, I don't like the sequel as much as the original. Well, yeah, by default, it would be you would be insane if you were like, those are exactly the same movie and I love them both equally the same. Like, you don't, they're movies.
But also, so, you don't want them to be the same. If someone goes, I didn't like it, I wish they would have done what they did the first time. You go, well, then you would have gone, you know what they did?
Movie.
They did what they did the first time.
right.
It doesn't mean that second movie's good and you're fine to like hate it, but there's plenty of people who have two kids and are like, this kid is like this and this kid's like this. This one's more of a headache. This other one's a little
less of a
headache.
Isn't it weird, though, how we try to we treat music like that, right? Comedy, we've talked about this, but comedy is like, tell a new joke. Music is like, play the thing you played last time or something extremely similar.
Yeah. Do the same thing every time. I like it. Yeah. I already heard this. And it's what you're looking for in it.
Right.
A laugh. People go, this song can always make me feel this.
Right.
I won't always laugh at the thing you just said.
Well, that's the thing. Is they want
comedy, shelf life is so little.
Comedy, give me a new experience. Music,
make
recreate the
yeah.
experience I've had before.
Surprise me. Music, give me. Do not surprise me.
Right. Give me the
if
same
If you come
thing,
out here and play something off your new album, that surprise can go straight to hell.
Or if you're Dylan and you play the same song but in a completely different way, so mad.
So angry.
But here's my thing, though. I've talked about this with my friends, and I had one friend of mine. We were up at the cabin, and he said to the group of guys, he goes, I think we could burn this down in less than a day, but that was a different conversation. I said,
less than a day? He thinks it takes that long.
Right. He goes, I just worry if we have the second kid, like, am I going to, like, all my heart is devoted to our first kid. And a couple other of my friends who already had second and third children were like, dude, you don't divide your heart multiplies.
Yes.
And so it's, you just, it, you just,
it grows.
Yeah. You, it, like Grinch, like the end of the Grinch, it just gets that much bigger. Now, do I think that over time, as babies become children and children become people and then people become people, you know, do you probably maybe get along with, or like some kid,
of course.
You like, you just on a friend level might relate to or like one kid more than the other. Yes, but
it's energy.
That's when like, that's the opposite. You know, in relationships we go like then love. Love is more, right? But it's reverse maybe with kids where it's like, yes, I like you, but the love is like always the baseline. You're like, you don't go below love. Whereas in relationships, you don't go below like. It's like the floor is the floor in your kids is love.
Yeah.
So
I think Sarah's right. You know, the assumption that the love is going to be there for both kids. I think it's absolutely. I mean, the fact that you're even
Sarah
thinking
said
about it.
They're afraid of it. Am I capable
kid? But I mean, in the end, she's like, and I know I'll love any child I have. Because of who I am. Yeah. And I agree with that. I think you're absolutely right. I know that a lot of people experience that. Like I said, I can't speak to it because I am not having a second kid. But I know that, you know, sometimes when I, again, going back to the fantasy thing, I go, oh, what would it be like? And the one thing I was like, I really would love to see what kind of older sister Elliot would be. with like a sibling. And I do think about that. I do want to know that because I think she'd be amazing and so fun and loving and caring towards this other kid. But, you know, I don't predict that I would go, this other kid is crazy. If there's anything I've learned from myself, every 5 to 10 years removed, you're not even who you used to be anyway. So if you got like this kid, you're like, this kid's fucking crazy, driving us crazy. Mm-hmm. We're losing our minds. You might find that kid to be the most supportive of you in older age when you really need some help. They might be like, hey, I'm here. I love you so much.
Can and you're
like,
a wild
God,
question?
I thought you were a tornado of a shitstorm tornado. It turns out you're lovely. You're really lovely.
I don't know. You can say, hold on to this, or you can also respond to what I'm about to ask you and go, let's let somebody write us a letter about it. Because we're supposed to be wrapping this up, but you just made me think of something that if you and I were like on a plane, I'd be like, all right, we're good for the rest of this flight because I'm about to ask Rory this question. So you fully know. You could table this. You could also table this for the live show for all I care.
Now, do you mean table this where I don't even get to hear the question?
No, I'm going to say it.
Because that's going to be too hard for me.
I'm going to say it.
And also, we're both going to forget it in 10 minutes.
That's true. I'm going to say it. And then this is fun, but also it's us because it's not only fun, it's like very, you really got to think about it.
Okay.
You I'm have really a child.
Excited. Yes.
Remember, you have options here.
Yes, I have a job.
Your options are, we can dig into this, and I don't know if we get to go to another letter or not.
Well, let's
really
put it out there,
to.
And I'll know once you say
you
it.
Could
I'll
say, know once you say it. Somebody write in about it. You could save it for the live show.
This is like Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, but all the answers are right. This
you
is great.
Have a child around 4 or 5, definitely 6 years old. You realize your child is evil. Like the good
Damien.
Son. Yes. But the I'm not there talking supernatural.
Macaulay.
Yes.
We were talking Macaulay Culkin.
Yes. I'm talking you are like, you know that this is a... You have a bad...
Evil spirit.
...person. Yes.
Yep, got it.
What course of action do you take as a parent with this child that you know...
This is real.
Yeah, I know.
This is real.
I know. How do you want it? What do you want to do? Because I really want to get to my letter, but I feel...
Will the other kid go on to star in... Lord of the Rings.
Yes.
Is there a financial
like a given.
Game?
Yeah, it's a yin and yang situation.
Is there
situation?
A financial game? I go, who's going to kind of help me pay off this house?
No, even if you only have one. What do you want to do with this? God, I could talk to you about this idea.
Yeah, you know what? I think I know the exact... I know exactly what I want to do.
Okay.
I can't say that I want this to be the live show. Maybe I do. But I think I want to hear from some people. Because I think that will help that conversation. I think this is a bigger conversation.
Well, maybe we get some letters about it and it's our Patreon for the live show.
All right.
Show.
So we get some letters about it. And then because I think having other perspectives will nurture that conversation.
What's your course of action, Pennies and Pallors?
Yeah, what's your course of action? Your kid is...
like, and I hate to say stuff like this because I am so
and
sensitive
not your
to
fault.
Animals. But
and
like
here's,
doing
here's the other thing.
Like
and you did a great...
and like...
Yes. And you did a good job.
Yes. Yeah. You are not
you can't,
abusive.
You can't go,
not,
maybe the parents are bad.
Not,
no, it's you.
No,
it's
yeah,
you.
Yeah. This is
you.
Not a nurture scenario. Yeah. It feels like a nature thing.
Also, if anyone has a personal relevance, personal
oh
anecdote...
God, I'm going
to
tell
like
you
this.
And then we're going to say goodbye to Sarah.
Up at 102.8.
Rory. You're not going to believe what I'm about to tell you. And then we're going to say goodbye to Sarah.
You're right. I don't believe it. I won't believe
you
it
know
after
how
you
we
tell
keep
it.
Telling people, like, oh, just send us a letter about anything, right? And then I know that we have Pennies and Pallors that have listened to this show for years, from the jump, okay?
Yeah.
At Bingo last month, another Bingo happening on, like, the 5th, I think, of March.
Bing, bing? All
yes.
Right.
At Bingo last month, two people at Bingo, had interactions with or knew someone who became a serial killer. And they have not written us about it. How do you not write us that
letter?
And
they listen to this show?
Yes.
Honestly?
Well, I blame us.
Honestly? I think they're the serial killer. And that's why they can't write. It gives too much away.
How do you not write that down and be like, guys, guess
what? That's insane.
How do you not write that down?
Wait, did you tell them? Did you go, okay, so anyways, it's just thepenpals@gmail.com.
I should have. Because, you know, in Bingo, to use the free space, you have to tell a secret. And one person was like, all right, here's my secret. I knew a serial killer. And then, like later on, somebody else was like, all right, for my secret, I once interacted with a serial killer too. And I'm like, what the fuck are you guys talking about? How do you not write us that in the past 2.5 years?
I have to assume it's a lie. They must have lied. Well, and honestly, if you're listening right now, prove me wrong. Write us a goddamn letter. I think I'm smart using reverse psychology. Oh, yeah? Then write us a fucking letter.
All right, Sarah.
Sarah, I got to say, great, great letter. Obviously, we when we get fired up, which I do. Mm-hmm. I see Daniel get the fire in his eyes. This is a great one. You're already amazing. You're going to be even more amazing. Your heart's going to explode with love and joy, and those kids are lucky to have you. So get rid of all that doubt. Don't let 2020 be the doubt. Make 2020 the thing that makes you fucking stronger. And that goes for everybody. Sarah, we wish you well.
Mm-hmm.
Sincerely, your pen pals. Rory Vaniel Scaniel.
Ooh, and Daniel Van Kirk. Hey, are you a small business owner and hearing this little spot for where your ad could go? Then so are your customers. Rory and I are trying to help you people. If you have an Etsy shop, you have an eBay store, you're buying stuff at like Marshall's and selling it on Amazon, I don't care, whatever. If you have something you want to promote, as long as it isn't cookies, or maybe it can be cookies as well.
It can't. We have hyped two bakeries. Are both of them standing? You'll find out their death match in late March.
Ooh, that would be good. So, hey, send us, this is the spot here where we would be talking about you and helping you out. If you want to do that, let us know. Thepenpalspod@gmail.com.
And if you're like, I know some people that have small businesses. Look, that's fine and good, but we also want to focus on our listeners who support us. We want to pay that back and support them.
You got to rework it the other way. If you know somebody that you love very dearly that's running a small business that could use some help, then grow the show to them. Make them a penny or a paler. Then they'll send us this ad.
And tell them thepenpalspod@gmail.com.
Agreed. All right, Roy, are you ready for this?
Y'all ready for this?
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah.
Who are we?
Synchronicity, dude. That is a synchronicity. New favorite voice. Is a synchronicity.
I like that.
If that's your natural voice, it's not excitement. Mm-hmm. Imagine that person at a funeral. Everyone's like, so disrespectful. He's Daniel.
He's dead.
Daniel, I heard you got a podcast. Everyone's like, why are you talking? Come on.
Ready?
No, he's destroyed. That dude talking to Daniel's destroyed. I'm ready. Woo! Woo! Ah!
Yeah! You're the guy in the locker room that doesn't start, barely comes off the bench, not really invested in the game, but like...
What time is it?
I maybe started the towel, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
our team
sure.
wasn't really doing the towel. I didn't invent the towel, but our team wasn't doing
you
the
towel. You also kind of walk in a weird space between you think you're one of the coaches. Come on, guys. I'm seeing it out there. David, Greg.
I know that space be exploited by that person.
Uh-huh.
And also, you see the coaches who don't know how to handle it, and you see the other coaches that go, get the fuck out of here.
But then there's also coaches
you see both
like,
of those versions.
There's also coaches like, Nathan's got a point, Rick.
Yeah, they're like the second assistant, like twice removed.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, I'm not out there, but you don't think I'm not pissed too? You got to get on that ball, David.
And then that's when the coach looks at the best player and goes, hey, fucking listen to Nathan right now. And that's when the best player's like, I don't know what the dynamic is anymore on this team. I don't know how to gauge where I stand in leadership with the team anymore.
Cheering from the bench. Okay.
It's a craft. It's a true craft.
It is.
Because I'll tell you what, as someone who's out on that field, you need that bench.
Okay, sidestep real quick. Have you watched... The Dawn Wall.
No.
Oh my God, Rory. You push
the
things.
The Dawn Wall?
Yes.
What's it on?
Guarantee Noah's watched it. It's called
Noah. Hold on. Netflix. Nuno, have you watched it?
Yes, I've watched it.
Told your ass.
And moving on.
He probably recommended it to me and I forgot.
Noah's like, yeah, I'm the one who told Daniel about it.
He probably was. He was a part of my show for like 6 months. All right, so
what is it? Or no, don't tell me what it is. Where can I find it and give me no details?
Netflix.
I think that's more fun.
But all,
Netflix,
here's what I do need
the
to
Dawn
tell
Wall.
You. There's an element to it, and you know will agree with me. There's an element to it of cheering a person on, right? When they're doing something very difficult. And you have to pick and choose your points of when to be like, you got this. Come on. You got this. Because if you do it at the wrong point, you know, you and I have probably done this. You look at me and go, yeah, I fucking know.
I know.
Right?
I know.
You have to pick it at the right point where they kind of needed it and not say anything when they don't want you to say a fucking word.
That's why the craft of being a golf caddy is very delicate.
Oh, very.
Because golfers are psychopaths.
Right. Because you will not
get
credit.
And those caddies...
Sometimes
Corey McCowan said, Corey McCowan's been a caddy on the PGA level for Parnovic, and he said all caddies are doing are keeping their golfer from leaving, walking off the course. He goes, that's all you're doing. They're psychos. He's like, they're all psychos, and when they hit a shot, you're like, no, it's good. Right. Come on. No, you got this. You're good.
There's no way it should have broke like that.
That's the course. This is
horribly
designed.
Your lie was perfect. It was the way it broke. Like, you can't see it from that angle we were at anyway.
Yeah, yeah. Just keep them from it. And also, I have your car keys, and I'm not giving them to you, so you have to finish. And also, I don't get paid till you finish on Sunday.
Right. Stay in this, buddy. Okay, I'm going to read this. Here we go. Dear Rory and Dan, I can't endorse that, but given the subject matter, I'm okay with it.
I'm already endorsing it.
Dear Rory and Dan, first of all, where's the IEL player? All right. I just returned from my lunch break of eating Bojangles in my car and listening to Pen Pals. This is not just a random Bojangles plug, but a way of bringing up this. I love is all caps, to eat fast food in my car and listen to podcasts. Side note, Bojangles messed up my order by giving me the wrong side and no dipping sauce, but guess what? It was still incredible.
Because they are incredible. I'm going to be sliding some stuff in because I am now fucking wanting some Bojangles.
Oh, I know. I do too, and I've had it twice in my life.
That's not going to bode well with my plant-based diet book I'm reading.
You can get a biscuit. I try not to eat too much fast food anymore, and perhaps that adds to my enjoyment of it, given the very specific circumstances of it being in my car whilst a podcast is playing. I don't know if this is exactly a guilty pleasure, aside from the fast food intake itself, but it is admittedly an odd and specific activity to enjoy. Are there any strange particular activities, or perhaps full-blown guilty pleasures, either one of you care to discuss? Love, goddamn right, love, Alan. Say my name. P.S. Dan, my girlfriend and I listened to Thanks, Diane during a road trip last year, and it was so great. Rory, we love seeing you perform here in Huntsville. Would love to see another pen pal there when it's safe. Well, we'd love to both come there and do a show.
Boom skis.
Rory, as we leave today, so much, man. We've run a gambit today, and I love. That's why I love this show.
I gotta bring up something. I gotta remember what this is called, but this relates to. Deleted Instagram again.
There's an order at Bojangles you can make. It's called like the Ava or something.
Okay.
It's a Bowberry biscuit, and this is something for Alan to take in. Now that he's in Bojangle region. Mm-hmm. It's a Bowberry biscuit with a Cajun filet chicken filet. Whatever breast or whatever it is on that biscuit with pimento cheese,
and it's supposed to be great. It just looked great to you.
I can see a lot of people thinking that's fucking awful.
I bet not.
I would without a doubt try that. I couldn't tell you, but the sweet and the chicken and the pimento cheese, in my mind, it all works. In my mind, it all works.
Well,
I can't say if it does.
That the idea of you doing that is perfect for the question here. Do you already have a thing that you're like? Guilty pleasure, particular activity, or perhaps full-blown guilty pleasure that you care to discuss. Or strange, they said it could be.
Daniel knows about this, and we've talked about this, so I'll say it quickly. This isn't a great answer to this. I'm going to try to think of another one. But really quickly, when Daniel and I would do our podcast, we would, I think, what were we doing, Mondays?
Uh-huh.
What was the studio time? I don't even remember now.
Usually,
Mondays. Yeah, but as soon as we were done, I would go to Guisado's. I would get 7 tacos, which are like 2 or 3 bites each. It's not a crazy amount.
Yeah.
7 is a lot to finish.
Right.
Not as big as it sounds.
I would say that's
anyways,
the equivalent of like 3 what you'd normally picture tacos.
Yeah, yeah, that's about right. Yeah. And I would eat that, and then I would walk across the street into the mall.
You're skipping something that you would order that you turned me on to.
Oh, yeah. I would get the... Oh, yeah, it actually does a lot worse. I would get those 7 tacos, and I never knew what they were. I would just get the, like, platter that they did, and it was always fucking great. Some veggie, some meat. It was either way. Some really spicy. I never knew what I was eating, and that made it that much more fun. And then I'd also get 2, sometimes 3, tiny chorizo quesadillas and the cheese on it. Oh. It wasn't halloumi, but it sort of lived in that texture and that bite that is halloumi, and why halloumi is so great. But it was also like kind of cooked a little, and it was not really melted. So fucking good. And then, after having eaten way too much, would walk across the street into the mall to the DQ Orange Julius get myself a small mini or a small Blizzard. Usually Reese's.
And that was like that was your big treat.
That's my big treat. And I always did it because it was so close to Starburns.
Yeah.
And I go, well, I'm already over here. I did it so much that honestly, when I go up the 5 in a Pavlovian way, I start to salivate no matter what time of day. I start to salivate because I'm so close to those 2 locations. Going right by it. I'll be like, oh, God, I'm suddenly...
I'm trying to think.
That's kind of a not necessarily a healthy thing, kind of a guilty pleasure. I wish I had a better answer of something that was a little more vulnerable.
Great, so mine is, if we're going food,
like what kind
of newsflash? Pen pals love to talk about food. if we're talking food, for me, it is. I love just getting I'll make 2 boxes of Kraft spiral mac and cheese and a Tombstone pizza. And I just know I'm going to be so sick later, and I'm so excited for it.
And also, so easy to eat.
Oh, it's so easy to eat.
So easy.
Oh,
and
my
also,
God, it's wild.
And also,
easy
no one's timing you, but
you
are. Look like you're training.
I'm
for
in
something.
The running for a free shirt.
It does look like you're training for a Nathan's related hot dog event.
Dude, I do
I'm
that
in the
maybe.
Running for a shirt. I survived the 76er.
You get it. Yes. Oh. I don't do that. I might do that once every year or 2. Now, I'm not saying a couple times a year I'll have a Tombstone pizza a couple times a year, but when I'm like Egon and I cross the streams on those things, that's a big day. Yeah. Now, here's the other one. And this is something I used to do in college, and it still today brings me endless joy because
I mean, you're more equipped for that. Now, like here's what's so crazy about it. You're in good health. You work out. You worry about your health. You take care of yourself.
Yeah, I'm trying.
You're in better condition now, where your body won't be destroyed.
Right.
So here's the irony of it: your body won't be so destroyed by it because your body is in good shape. However, because your body's in good shape, it does become slightly destroyed by it someone who's wildly out of shape.
Right, because they're consuming these bullshit.
Their body's
all
like,
the
this
time.
Is what we expect. Yes. The machine, none of the machines are...
Dude.
Your body now goes, hey, whoa. Who let these in here? Who let these mac and cheese into our fucking stomach?
Every time I go home to Rochelle or to the cabin, the second or third night of eating like they do there, I am wildly sick.
And you're winded.
Oh,
yes. Isn't that crazy?
Yes.
How you get winded off of food?
Yes.
I had a Guinness last night, and I was winded, and I was like, COVID. I have COVID.
I thought that earlier
like,
this
week,
too.
Wait, I don't.
I know. I don't either.
The amount of time, honestly, in 10 months, how many times do you think you've had COVID in 11 months?
A week or a
month?
Since you went into quarantine. Minimum 3
exactly.
times a month. So what is that? Times 9?
And you're like, I have
20,
it. Basically every
times?
Week. Almost every week.
Yeah. 30 times I've been sure I had it.
Yeah,
sure I had it.
Me too.
When most of the time it's because I just slept with the fan on too high of a speed.
And I know it's fun to make fun of. I know it's fun to make fun of, but I live in that camp of someone who does think I had it 1 year ago right now. Because Maynard James Keenan from Tool did have it.
Right.
And here I am hanging out with Adam, who I remember was also at a point where he got sick. And then I came home from Texas, destroyed, couldn't breathe. 2 weeks later, had to go to urgent care. I remember sitting in our studio doing Pen Pals every time you made me laugh. We probably have recordings of it. Every time you made me laugh, I started to cough, mm-hmm. went to urgent care. I was like, that never happened. Maybe bronchitis, who knows? They put me on a bunch of shit. Couldn't sleep at night because my heart would be racing, and I thought it was the medication I was on. And then someone's like, no, that's actually something that's happening during COVID because it fucks with your heart so much. Even now, I think that's why I'm reading this book, too. I'm like, either I have horrific health or I am still affected by COVID in some way with my heart. Either way, if someone said, I know for a fact you didn't have COVID, I go, easy to believe. If someone goes, you more than likely did, I go, easy to believe.
Sure.
I was like, yeah. I live in both of those yeah. spaces. And I know it's fun to like go, you didn't fucking have it. I've even been that person towards someone else.
Right. I'm that way towards you.
Right now, Daniel's holding up a sign saying, shut the fuck up. We're at an hour.
But I want to, but here's the thing.
Daniel's giving me the light. And honestly, it's about to make me cry because it's taking me back to stand up. I'm like, the light. I got 2 minutes left. I forget. Next time you get the light, you will out loud go, sorry, I don't remember. Does that mean 1 minute, 2 minute, five? What is the light? You won't remember.
No. Comics are going to overreact, right? Because right now, I don't know if some fans might know this, some might not. If you ever see a comic for no reason, it doesn't work with what they just said, just kind of give a nod, they saw the light. But we're
they saw
be
the light
so,
and they're saying, I saw the light. It's right. Hey, you don't have to keep lighting me. I saw
right.
it.
Right. We're going to be so happy. Back to I said we're gonna be like, but this is what I say to people who say that I see it. This is what I say to like we're gonna be so happy to see the.
Do
light.
You know Brian? That's what Brian Regan would do. He was getting lit a lot, but he wasn't nodding.
Yeah.
And my buddy Ryan Connor told me this. And at one point he lights it, and Regan goes to the side of the stage for the light guy, and he goes, "And I gotta say, light guy, I got it." I saw the light.
I used to tell you that I told you that I used to like within a minute and a half of him being on stage, I would go into the back of the room and light Andy Peters.
You'd be like, which is so great.
That's not real. Wait, what? Like, that can't be real. Anyway, I'll finish that thought. College.
So good.
Barilla pasta, penne or bow tie mostly. I would get a big box of that.
I'm not a bow tie guy.
I would get a big box of, usually penne, to be honest with you. I would get a big box of penne, maybe rotini. I would put that, boil it up, and then I would do a full jar of Bertoli Alfredo sauce. Pour all that in there. Do some grilled chicken. Cut that up. Mix that whole thing up with some Lowry seasoned pepper, and I would eat that straight out of the goddamn pan. And I have not done that in... I've maybe done it twice in the last 4 years, and man. I want it every day. I could eat that every fucking day.
Yes, yes.
And be so happy.
Yes.
Oh, man.
I love using Q-tips.
That's a food thing.
Is that clean my ears? Is that a thing? I'm trying to find any kind of like weird thing that maybe is like...
That's gratifying.
We open up another door, Pal Nation. While I tell my daughter to not pick her nose, I pick my nose. Still, like, pick my nose.
Why do you tell her to not do it?
I could get a Kleenex.
Why do you tell her to not do it?
Because it looks so gross. And then she'll be like, you pick your nose. And I'm like, it's
different. I'm gross.
I'm like, yeah, but it's different.
Do as I say, not as I do. I love this, Alan. I hope people tell us what their guilty stuff is, too, as well.
Yeah. And we'll talk about it in the Page.
I know you're all great. Please send us letters, especially if you've had any run-ins with people who've murdered people.
Send some letters. And if you send them, we got them. We're going to read them.
Agreed.
We like stockpiling.
All right. We wish you well. Sincerely, your pen pals, Daniel Scoville
and Raniel Vaniel Canyon. It wasn't so long ago.
A podcast network.